take your take on ESPN Radio's ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can also get to us on your smart speakers, by the way, because we're fancy like that. Let's start you out with the headlines that you need to know. The NFL coaching staff has decided that coaching staffs can return to facilities beginning on Friday. So they informed teams Thursday that coaching staffs will be permitted to return to team facilities. The maximum number of personnel allowed in those facilities will be increased to 100. That begins on Friday, quote, as has been emphasized in previous advice on reopening facilities. This may occur only if your club has otherwise received necessary permission from state and local governments to reopen its facility. That's according to a memo sent to teams that was obtained by ESPN. Next up on the headlines, Indianapolis Motor Speedway is going to run the Brickyard 400 without fans. So they'll host the IndyCar NASCAR doubleheader on the July 4th weekend without any fans in the stands. Track officials had been optimistic IMS could be the first major sporting venue to have fans back in the stands this summer. Instead, the stands will be empty, much like the rest of the tracks, since major racing resumed in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. So that is an update there. And lastly, a little bit of an update coming in from Florida State here that's interesting. We're getting a couple of different sides to one issue. Mike Norvell, the new head coach of Florida State football, has said that over the weekend he reached out to players individually to discuss last week's death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Now you have Florida State star defensive lineman Marvin Wilson going to interviews at this point and going to social media to say that this did not happen. At this point, he's saying, we got a generated text that was sent to everybody. There was no one-on-one talk between us and coach. This is a lie, and me and my teammates as a whole are outraged. We will not be working out until further notice. So we'll see how that plays out moving forward for Florida State. Those are your headlines that you need to know. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Jason Fitz. All of our guests today, and we've got a bunch of them that are going to be great, will join us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. We're going to let you guys get in as the conversation goes from topic to topic. So obviously, we're going to let you guys get your take in as you hear from First Take. And it starts with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless does not play games. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Saves you up to 50% against the big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. The Straight Talk came in the form of reaction to Drew Brees. First and foremost, I want you to hear directly Drew Brees' comments that were made on Yahoo Finance.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
Now, those are the comments that he made on Yahoo Finance. He's now gone to social media, Instagram specifically, to issue an apology. Quote, in an attempt to talk about respect, unity, and solidarity centered around the American flag and the national anthem, I made comments that were insensitive and completely missed the mark on the issues we are facing right now as a country. They lacked awareness and any type of compassion or empathy. Instead, those words have become divisive and hurtful and have misled people into believing that somehow I am an enemy. This could not be further from the truth, and it is not an accurate reflection of my heart or character. That is the statement that Drew Brees has now issued in response to sort of the outcry that we've seen from his initial statements. That obviously is going to create reaction, not just from you. We'll let you guys get in on a 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But it also was obviously something they were going to react to today on First Take. Dominique Foxworth joined Stephen A. and Max to react to Drew Brees' apology.
I know Drew, and he's a personable guy, but I'm not going to pretend to know what's in his heart, whether the apology is closer to who he really is or the original statements were closer to who he really is. I think what I take from his apology, though, there are a couple things that pop out to me. And this is in a lot of people's statements now, is like, I don't know what it's like to be a black person. And it kind of is striking to me because we don't know what it's like to be white. And it seems to me that being white, at least being a white male of some power and privilege, it allows you an opportunity to go through the world in an aggressively ignorant way. And like to have the comments that he had yesterday suggest to me that he has been like very, and it's similar to the Vic Fangio thing, and it's crazy. Like, we can't even get 24 hours without having to address somebody saying something so tone deaf and insensitive. But it's similar to that statement, because you have to kind of be actively avoiding knowledge. And I think that the other thing that jumps out to me is enacting policy change. He wants to work on some sort of policy change. So I need to know what that is. I don't expect him to know what it is today, but put something on it. Like, let us know what you are actually going to do. And it's important for people who I think are being awakened right now. And we can talk about how sad it is that it's taken so many years for a large group of people to be awakened to what's actually happening in this country. But for those people, you don't go from not knowing anything about or not understanding the breadth of injustice in this country for Drew 40 plus years. You don't go from not fully understanding it to fully understanding it in one day. So I think anyone who's out there starting to fully appreciate and get a better idea of what's happening in this country to black people, like, you have to understand that you still need to educate yourself. Just because you recognize what you thought before was wrong, just because you recognize that things were taking place that you are unaware of, recognize that it is not knowledge. Like, that is just the opening, that's just you opening the door. You've just stuck your toe into the shallow end of the history of this country. So swim into the deep end. Get some books, get some documentaries if you can't read, some podcasts, whatever it takes to get smarter on this stuff. You need to get more informed and more educated. And that's my request of Drew. Like, I'm not going to parse how sincere his apology is or how lame the picture was, which is what's happening a lot on social media. I don't care about that, actually. I don't care about his words at this point or anyone else's words. I care about the action. Unless your words are committing to some sort of action going forward. And again, he said policy change. So I want to know what it is. And I don't expect him to know what it is today, because I don't expect him to fully understand everything today. But I expect at some point him and all these other people, Vic Fangio and the people who aren't as powerful as them, I expect them to get informed and then come back and tell us what you're going to do, what you're going to accomplish, what you're going to work towards. And that I can respect. And that will put Drew Brees and anybody else in the position where I'll say, all right, now you understand. Now you are an ally. Because if you're not working towards a solution, you are on the other side. You can't just stand on the sideline. You're not helping if you are not pushing in the right direction. You are almost as bad or maybe even worse than the people who are pulling against the progress. You need to be involved in pushing us all forward.
I got news for y'all. This uproar that's been going on nationwide where everybody's going up. Here's what I think everybody's missing. This is a victory for communication. I actually don't mind that this happened, because Drew Brees and his actions yesterday were emblematic of a level of tone deafness, or, you know, stripping the veil of white privilege that we've been lamenting for quite some time. And guess what? This is a win for communication, because the reality is that if you didn't have folks like that out there revealing what they truly, truly feel, then there would still be a plethora of people outside of the black community all over the place asking, what y'all upset about? What's the problem? We said that we agree with you. We said that this is wrong. What's the protesting for? What's that about? They would be asking those questions. You don't get to do that now, because just a semblance of what's taking place out there was revealed by Drew Brees yesterday. So when he talks about action, let's take this into consideration. If all we cared about was the emotion, right, then we're satisfied with the four officers being arrested. One charged with second-degree murder, the others receiving the charges that they received. We're satisfied with that under that premise, but we're not satisfied. We want their asses convicted, period. Not only do we want them convicted, we want federal legislation calling for police for brutality on a part of some police officers against unarmed black men to be designated as a federal hate crime. We want these kind of things. We don't want lip service. We don't want you to hug us. We don't want to lock arms with you and sing kumbaya with one another, everybody acting like tomorrow is going to be a greater day just because we feel a little bit better. We want action. And so what happens is that when you see something like this transpire, it lends itself towards illuminating and crystallizing the need for action. What happened in this case already within 6 days? It's not just that the officers have been arrested. It's not just that they're going to be prosecuted. It's that a black man who's a former Democratic representative, who's now the attorney general of the state of Minnesota, was handed the case because you have people behind the scenes who were calling for that. You're going to hear more about federal legislation needing to be implemented. You're going to hear names like Breonna Taylor. You're going to be reminded of Eric Garner. You're going to be reminded of Sean Bell. The list goes on and on. Walter Scott and other guys like that. You're going to hear these names reverberating in an effort to provoke and ultimately promote and implement federal legislation. That's the kind of action that we're talking about.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, and when you hear the concept of federal legislation, it always reminds me of a story Michael Jr. has told before on air about going into when he was playing with the Saints and being able to go in when there was a legislation that mattered to the Saints, and Drew Brees just walked into the room, and when he walked into the room, he was able to sway a room with what he said. In a legislative world, he was able to actually go in and sway policy just by walking into the room. And it was on, I think, a workers' comp issue of some sort that affected NFL players. It's a reminder of the power that the voice of Drew Brees can have, and the power that the voice of Drew Brees can have to work towards good. ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options. Progressive, visit progressive.com. And, you know, when you look across the board at what we expect at some point, when you look at what we expect from Drew Brees, I think that's what made this so shocking. People are used to Drew Brees saying and doing basically the right thing. And you're looking at Drew Brees as saying and doing so much that is easy to look at and say, okay, I know where he's coming from. It's rare to see Drew Brees walk anything back, right? So that's what makes all of this so difficult, because what it has done quickly is it has shifted a conversation that doesn't need to be shifted right now. Suddenly it's taken a conversation that's very important that we've been having on this show for the last several days, and it takes that conversation and makes it about something completely different. Right. Everything that's going on in the country right now has nothing to do with what was discussed in this Drew Brees moment. So unfortunately, what happens when he comes out and says what he says is that it takes it and it shifts everything back to an argument that's been going on for the last couple of years, to an argument that has not been successful for most people over the last couple of years. And it's able to shift that focus back to there. I want to keep the focus in so much of the conversation about what we're doing to move forward and how we do it. And if this is part of that conversation, fine. But what we can't let happen are the words of Drew Brees in this instance take the focus away from what we're trying to talk about right now. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. There was a lot more conversation about Drew Brees and what he had to say, and that came on First Take also in the form of Tony Dungy. Tony Dungy joined First Take talking with Laura Rutledge, Stephen A., and Max about his thoughts on Drew Brees' initial statement and, in fact, then his thoughts on the apology.
I want to get your reaction to Drew Brees' initial comments and then the apology that he's now released. What do you think about all of it?
Well, I was disappointed in the initial comments for sure. This is a time when we need unifying voices, not divisive voices. But I believe in the Bible, and I believe as a Christian that you accept apologies. And the Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. And that's what we have to look for with Drew. I've known him 20 years. I consider him a friend. I've seen good fruit in his life. I believe we'll see good fruit from here on out. So I'm going to accept his apology and move forward and see if this can be a moment that brings us together rather than driving a wedge to take us apart.
I completely agree with you, Coach, and I think that Drew Brees has represented the NFL and the sports community in exemplary fashion for many, many years, which is why I was so shocked to see what I saw from him. The tone deafness is not something you would ever associate with Drew Brees, so I was shocked by that. With that being said, I do believe it's a win for communications, because the bottom line is, by him saying what he said, you can imagine folks out there who happen to be white and have been incredibly tone deaf, and this crystallizes and illuminates that even further. I think because of it, it can work to the benefit of black people, particularly at this moment in time where we've got young soldiers out on the street protesting and fighting for rights, for all our rights to be acknowledged, and for us to be treated like the civilized human beings we are. What are your thoughts about that?
I believe you're absolutely right. This could be a watershed moment, and we've seen a couple of these. Vic Fangio said the other day he didn't believe there was racism in the NFL, and he had to think about that statement and come back on it. And so I think we've got to be okay with that. I've said many times, communication, listening is important. So we've got to be able to listen to these kind of statements, have people have the freedom to say it, but then be able to come back in love and say, you know what, Drew, that wasn't the right thing to say. And here's why. Yes, your grandfather's fought. So did mine. And my dad fought. So that flag means something to us as well. But this is a different matter. This was never about the flag. This is about treatment of people. And I think you get that message across with communication.
Coach Drew Brees, I mean, said virtually the same thing 4 years ago when Kaepernick originally knelt. There was video of police brutality that was widely circulated online and on social media at that time. And when he said it then, it was uncontroversial and, in fact, reflected the mainstream point of view. And now it's so controversial that within 24 hours, he has to apologize profusely and promise that he'll educate himself and do more listening and less talking. What do you think has changed?
Well, Max, I think at that time, 4 years ago, the discussion was on the flag and it was on the national anthem. And now we've come to understand that that never was the narrative. The narrative was directed that way, but we understand better what this is all about. So now when you come out and say that, it is different because people understand that this whole movement, peaceful protest, was about making some positive changes in our society. It wasn't about disrespecting the flag.
Pete Carroll for the Seattle Seahawks has said, we owe Colin Kaepernick, and others have alluded to this as an impetus to have Colin Kaepernick return to football, especially since, obviously, that's why he's been exiled from football since 2016. Where do you stand in that thinking, sir?
Well, I think there's no doubt that's why Colin Kaepernick is not in the league now. He's talented enough to be in the league. This has been an issue that has hurt his career, no question about it. But I do think he's looked at differently now in light of what happened. We saw the same thing happen, and you guys are old enough to remember Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali, at the beginning of his statements about not going into the service, he was looked at one way, and at the end, it was totally different because people's opinions changed based on having a little bit more knowledge of the circumstances. So I think Colin is going to be looked at much differently now going forward than he was 3 years ago. I do think he's good enough to play in the league, and I think he should be in the league.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz, and that's going to be a big part of the conversation that we're already hearing and having about everything around Colin Kaepernick. And, of course, a lot of this comes from, obviously, they started with the conversation about Drew Brees. I want to stress, Drew Brees went out and said, obviously, something that, from his apology, he already is walking back. One thing that I think is going to be key here, it has nothing to do with us, and we'll never know the answer to this. It has everything to do with the way Drew Brees, the relationships he has behind the curtain, the relationships he has in the locker room, the way he's perceived, because there are going to be conversations that need to happen here. I can only speak for myself, and one thing that I've been really transparent about over the last week is how much I've changed my mindset on speaking and how much I've changed my mindset on trying to come out and help, right? So there's a spot for all of us where we could admit, hey, maybe I didn't do this right. Maybe I didn't do this wrong. Maybe I should be looking at this in a different way. I think those are all real and natural and important conversations for us to be having. Evolution of thought is incredibly important right now for all of us, right? But what's real? And that's what we're all going to be looking at. And the way we'll know that, we won't, but the way people inside the building will know that is based on what their relationship already is with Brees and what they see from Brees moving forward. Because you can't, in today's climate, make tone-deaf conversation or tone-deaf statements and not expect at some point for that to come back at you. You can't expect any more in today's world, and this is a good thing, to be able to say something and not be questioned on it. You can't expect the opportunity to just go out and freely speak without having to justify what you're saying at every turn. Because right now, more important than ever, is the tone of what we say. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. It's who you're saying it for. It's why you're saying it. So for Drew Brees to say what he said, and obviously he said what he said because it means something to him, but then he comes back and brings the apology so quickly and so publicly, there's an element here where he wants to walk it back. That's fine. What we'll find out is, do his teammates believe that he wants to walk it back? Because that's the essence of it that we'll start to see. We saw reaction from football players across the NFL on social media after his comments were made. I'm interested to see what reaction we see now from the apology and what it means, if anything, for his relationship moving forward. Because you're talking about somebody that has done a lot of good for a lot of communities. You're talking about somebody that has been on the right side of most conversations more often than not. So, if he is not on the same side as his teammates on this conversation, are they willing to talk to each other and be open with each other in a way that everybody grows from it and everybody listens? That's been the goal on this show. That's the goal in locker rooms. That's the goal in workplaces. The goal is for everybody to speak and for everybody to listen. That's what I hope happens from all of this. Don't forget, tune in to ESPN Daily, the podcast bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Coming up, more reaction to Drew Brees' apology next. You'll hear from one of our best, and you'll hear that. But first, let me tell you about Home Depot. Okay, I said this over the weekend. Had a leak in the toilet. I don't know what the part is. I don't know what it's called. I don't know how to fix anything. You guys know that. I just knew that there was a part that was dripping. So I did what I tell you guys to do. I just removed it from the toilet and I took a picture of it with the Home Depot app. And what do you know? It told me where it was, how many was in stock, how I could get it. It did all of that for me. So I was able to go over to Home Depot, put my mask and gloves on, walk in, get it, walk back out. I was out in absolutely no time. You can download their app. You can go online. You can find the essential products and information you need. It helped me fix the toilet, which I feel like a big guy now. Like, I feel like I'm a man's man, all because of Home Depot. You can order what you need online. They can have it waiting for you at the store, or they can even deliver over 1 million items free. They also have thousands of how-to videos. If you're like me and you're an idiot, you need all the help you can get. They've got the videos for projects and repairs you need to make. The Home Depot's here. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. More First Take, Your Take coming right now. ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. ESPN News, I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, and we'll get some thoughts from that line in just a couple of minutes. Penzo has synthetic motor oils, by the way, made from natural gas. It gives you an unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Penzo oil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. A lot of conversation going on right now about Drew Brees. And if you're like me, you were surprised. I mean, I'm the first to admit, I was surprised yesterday to hear Drew Brees and his comments coming out and talking about the flag in this time and what it means, because so much of the conversation now around the NFL will start to circle around Colin Kaepernick and where the NFL really is on race relations and where the NFL really is on trying to bring everybody together. And, you know, obviously when you've got an NFL head coach like Vic Fangio coming out and saying he doesn't see racism in the NFL in today's world with what's going on, it's fair to then look at it through a microscope, right? You're going to look at it from a different level. So as we continue to look at it, I was surprised, because we hear so much and see so much in the past of Drew Brees bringing people together. Now, I understand that obviously Drew Brees is allowed to have his own opinion. Like, he's allowed to feel a certain way on all of this. Of course he is. And people are conversely allowed to disagree with him. The biggest part that can come from all of that isn't an apology, because we've already seen that. Drew Brees already came out today and apologized on Instagram for his comments yesterday in a really well thought out statement. What I really think needs to happen through this is honest conversation and listening. I mean, that's the biggest part of it that no longer happens. Whenever we turn this debate, no matter what, whenever we turn the debate of what's going on in the country right now back to Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, people twist that debate into whatever they want it to be to fit the narrative that they already have. If we could ever reach a spot where no matter what people believed on it, they would be open to talking about it and listening through all of it, maybe we could actually all come together on some of these issues. Tim Hasselbeck joins us now on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Tim, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it. What was your immediate reaction when you heard the comments from Drew Brees?
Yeah, I mean, my immediate reaction was that, you know, in this current time here, there just was no empathy in the answer that he gave in the interview for, you know, really so how so many, you know, I'm sure of his teammates and just peers across the NFL, you know, were feeling. And so, you know, my initial reaction was that, you know, there's going to be, you know, a really a sense of betrayal from, you know, people that probably consider Drew a friend or teammates or just, you know, whatever it is in terms of their experience with Drew. And it is what we saw, you know, I mean, clearly just from around the league, but then, you know, also from teammates and guys like Malcolm Jenkins. And I just think a lot has happened since the initial, you know, the initial comments, my initial reaction to it. You know, a lot has happened, right? I mean, you know, Drew then, you know, apologizes, and then his apology, you know, has a lot more empathy in you know, asking for forgiveness. And, you know, we've seen DeMario Davis, you know, accept his apology and forgive him, which is remarkable. And, you know, I guess, you know, my reaction now through all of it is just kind of hope that this is kind of an example of, you know, how two people that, you know, were two really different spots less than 24 hours ago, and, you know, and one of them probably really hurt and, you know, disrespected and betrayed, can ultimately come together for, you know, a better understanding and, you know, make this a better society.
Now, Tim, obviously, I'm never going to pretend that I've been in locker rooms, but I've certainly been on tour buses, and that's close quarters,
yeah.
Right? And sometimes when you go through these things and somebody says something, you forgive him in the moment, but it just sort of continues to flare up. You know, that's just the way it works in close quarters with people that are almost like family. How forgiving are NFL locker rooms, and how capable are they of actually letting something like this be behind them?
They're really forgiving. I mean, they are. One of the really great things about, you know, playing football, especially playing football at the collegiate level, you know, depending on where you go to school or playing in the NFL, is that, you know, the teams are big, and, you know, because the teams are big and because people come from, you know, so many different backgrounds, you know, that it's a really kind of accepting environment, and, you know, barriers are kind of taken down in those environments. And so they're really forgiving. But, like, saying all of that, you know, prior to hearing DeMario Davis, you know, I thought, man, this is, like, I don't know how this ends up working out, you know, in that Saints locker room. You know, that was my reaction at that time. But then, you know, seeing DeMario Davis, who's really respected on that team and a leader on that team, you know, seeing his, you know, response to Drew and the way, not just forgiving him, but just the way that he talked about Drew as a leader, you know, it does go to show you that, like, you know, even when you don't think something, you know, would be possible, that it is, you know, and it is because of, you know, not because of Drew Brees, but because of DeMario Davis and his willingness to forgive and show grace to. And so I don't know what happens in that locker room, but, you know, I just hope that, like, as men, you know, not necessarily just as teammates, that they ultimately end up being in a better spot.
We're talking to ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck on First Take, Your Take, Jason Fitz hosting. So I also think it's been really incredible through the process of this. We've heard from more quarterbacks than we usually hear about these sorts of issues, mm-hmm. whether it was Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. I mean, we've heard from several quarterbacks. You're a former quarterback, Tim. Is there a different pressure on a quarterback when it comes to not speaking or speaking on these things?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, I don't know if, you know, fans are keeping a tally of who has said something and who hasn't, or who's posted on Instagram and who hasn't. You know, I certainly not, you know, my place to judge on any of that stuff. But I do think one of the things that has been clear through this process is that, you know, you mentioned, you know, Derek Carr and Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, certainly, you know, Carson Wentz, you know, issued, you know, it, I guess he put something out on social media, and Nick Foles a similar fashion, and Joe Burrow the same thing. And, you know, I think one of the things that is kind of universally, like those actions were seen to be universally, you know, received and applauded in a way of like thankfulness by so many black teammates. And, you know, I think that it's kind of what a lot of, you know, black teammates are asking for. It's like, look, we need your help in this. And you have a huge platform. You know, you're the quarterback of, you know, the Packers or the Eagles or the Bengals or whoever it may be. So, you know, I don't know what the reaction is going to be. I don't, you know, obviously, you know, I've got asked the question about that in terms of, you know, because of how, you know, the controversy of, you know, that Drew's kind of found himself in, you know, over the last 24 hours, if that, you know, ends up being in like an impediment for, you know, other quarterbacks to, you know, want to be involved in the conversation. And I hope that's not the case. And, you know, I don't know that it will or it won't, but, you know, not to keep going back to it, but certainly the reaction of somebody like DeMario Davis, you know, like that leads to, I think, like that's the kind of leadership that I think would get other people involved.
I'm talking to Tim Hasselbeck. One more quick one for you, Tim, and I know this is a difficult question for any of us to try and figure out, but given the togetherness right now that it seems that so many players have towards these issues, but also the divisiveness that the anthem has caused the NFL particularly, should the NFL revisit the policy of what they do or how they televise the anthem?
Yeah, in terms of how they televise it or that, I guess the part with this that, you know, it's become pretty clear over the past few years is that, you know, as you hear Drew talk about his grandfathers, but then you also hear teammates of his that, you know, would have their football uniforms on in a stadium that, and those guys talking about their grandfathers, you know, and how their grandfathers are experienced is different than Drew Brees' grandfather's experience, you know, when they were turned back to this country. And so, you know, I think it's been pretty clear that, you know, whether it's somebody telling Drew Brees what to do or Drew Brees telling somebody else, you know, what to do during the anthem, that like, that's really not their place to do that, you know, it's just, and so, you know, I don't know what the NFL's, you know, response to that is. But I don't, you know, I don't know that each team, and I think you're just going to see it from the leadership of, you know, various teams, you know, and, you know, I can't imagine that Brian Flores is, you know, based on his comments, is going to, you know, try to tell players what they can and can't do, you know, via form of protest. So I don't know what the NFL will do with it, but I think that the past 24 hours have made it pretty clear that, you know, telling somebody else what they should do, what they should feel, you know, that doesn't work.
Tim, man, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you guys are safe. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Jason. See you, man.
Always great stuff from Tim. Tim Hasselbeck joined us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line there. Coming up, we're going to hear from another former player, former Major League Baseball player, had a message for how the country could heal earlier on ESPN Radio. You'll hear that next. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed, we just talked to Tim Hasselbeck. Great. Go check it out in the podcast. He joined us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. If you missed it, go check it out in the podcast. Really good stuff there. We're brought to you by your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams. And let me tell you, I use Sherwin-Williams paint. It is spectacular. I'm just saying. Go check it out. Okay, so Torrey Hunter joined Golic and Wingo this morning to have a really interesting conversation. Torrey Hunter, former Major League Baseball star. And as he came on the show, as he left his time, he used that last moment to really have an open conversation about how we can, as a country, begin to heal. It's a really positive and important note to hear what he had to say this morning on Golic and Wingo.
Love requires relationships. So let's try to acquire these relationships. We're here. And I just want to say this before we go. Man, sports teaches you a lot of life lessons. We all come from different backgrounds, Dominicans, Latins, Venezuelans, Asians, white, black. We get in there and the leader says, hey, we're going to the World Series this year and we're going to fight for it. So we get everybody in line and they all help hold each other accountable. And then next thing you know, we're fighting to get to the World Series for those 8 months, 6 months. So America, we need a World Series. We don't have a World Series. Where are we going? We have no place to go to get together and rally. We have nothing but division. A house divided will fall. We don't want to be the Roman government empire. We don't want to be Egypt. They all died out because they just couldn't get on the same page and they didn't have a World Series. What's our World Series? Figure it out. Let's all do that together. All right, God bless you.
First Take, your take on ESPN ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Some really smart stuff there when you start to think about love and relationships, and that's so much of what he talked about. But also, I can't help but sit there and think about a willingness and a want to come together. That's the one thing that I think has to be there. You know, when you talk to somebody that has a problem in their life, whatever it might be, if it's an addiction problem, if it's just a life problem, what do they always say? You can't fix them. They have to want to fix themselves, right? They have to want to get better. I think there's a little element of us as a country right now. We have to want to fix ourselves. And by fix, I don't mean bring everybody to your side of the table. I mean, we have to really want to sit down and have conversations about what we could do to come together with love and be better. I know that sounds cheesy. Hell, I feel cheesy saying it. I understand that. But that's such a huge part of the conversation. Are you willing to build relationships based on wanting everything in the world to be just simply better? Wanting more love, wanting us all to come together. Because that, again, is the opportunity that sports fans have. I think we understand this better than most people. I genuinely believe that sports fans understand togetherness better than non-sports fans. Because you come together all the time in what you do. You come together all the time in what you live for, what you root for. You know what it feels like to live, eat, and breathe fandom of something that controls everything in your being. You know what it feels like to want all of that to come together. And you know what it feels like to be able to do that with a group of people that can have as varied a background as any, and it doesn't matter because you're all together for one cause. That's why there's opportunity. That's why I think this is an important conversation for us, and that's why I think the focus right now, more than ever, for sports fans particularly, should be taking what we already know how to do, come together, and bringing it to every aspect of life. When's the last time you looked at the situation we're going through right now as a country and said, what can we all do to just love and be better? What could we be doing right now that will make everybody feel better in this situation? That's very difficult to do, and it's going to take a really long time, and it takes a lot of tough conversations. I understand all of those things. Those tough conversations lead to that togetherness. What did he say earlier? Love requires relationships, right? So there has to be some investment. You have to be willing to invest in other people's lives to the point that it makes you want their life to be better. That comes from love. That comes from relationship, and it leads to togetherness. This is just heavy. It's heavy on my heart as we've had this week-long conversation at this point on how we can all be better and how we can all do better. And for me, it's been a true evolution over the last week, and it will continue to be a true evolution. The one thing that I hope we all do, everybody listening right now, in addition to just looking at life through the lens of sports, look at every aspect of your life through that same lens and ask yourself, what can bring us all together the same way game day does? If we can figure that out, man, we can do anything. Coming up, are there any teams that should be upset that they didn't make the cut for the NBA's 22 team return to the court? You'll hear it next. First Take, your take.